We'll read together from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace.
Well, good morning, everyone. A special welcome to all the friends and family that have come to our church today to be a part of celebrating these baptisms. In just a minute, we're going to meet our 12 individuals that are going to be baptized today. Is that a number worth celebrating? I think it's a perfect number. For the last 6 years, we as a church have been engaging in a process of replanting Christ Church Oceanside. So the vision has been to reestablish Jesus as our cornerstone, to build a church that is rich and devoted to the scriptures, to the sacraments, to a sacrificial way of living, that we might come to see salvations, where people would come and receive Jesus in this church, and that we would celebrate their entrance into life with Christ and to following Christ. And so today is a bit of a culmination of that work over the last 6 years, that we are seeing today people devote their lives to following Jesus. And so today's a big day of celebration for us. Amen? Now, what I want to do before we meet our candidates and we ask them some questions about their story, and before they make their oaths and confessions of faith, I want to look a little bit, just really briefly today, on the purpose of baptism. Baptism is something called a sacrament. A sacrament is a visible sign of an invisible grace. Okay, so everyone say that with me. A visible sign of an invisible grace. So what that means is a lot of our Christian faith is about believing in things that we can't always see, that we are experiencing in our spirits, in our inner being, but we don't always get to tangibly touch it. Like, for example, we believe in Jesus, but it's been 2,000 years since he was in the flesh here on earth. So there's a separation between what we believe is ultimately true, that Christ still lives, that Christ is ruling and reigning, that Christ has saved humanity, but we are in a period of time where we're separate from feeling that physically. Sacraments are a gift within the church where something physical is meant to help you experiencing something that is happening in the spiritual. Communion is the other big sacrament that we experience something physical while we receive something spiritual. Now, the Apostle Paul teaches us in Romans 6, that was the reading that Robin did for us, that we're to look back at our baptism for the rest of our lives. And that when we look back at our baptism, we're meant to see four key things that fundamentally change our life. That we're going to look back on this experience because we need to remember what was given to us then so that we utilize it in the present for the rest of our lives until we meet Christ face to face. So what are the four things we see in Romans chapter 6? The first is that we see that our baptism reveals or speaks to our union with Jesus. The second thing is that we participate in the death of Jesus, that we participate in the resurrection of Jesus, and that there is a holiness in Jesus for us that we're meant to live out and commit ourselves to for the rest of our life. So let's look at the first. This idea that when you go into the waters of your baptism, you are being united to Jesus. Now, Jesus is God in flesh. So in our baptism, what we are seeing is the great work of God's plan and salvation, that we are brought back into relationship with God. We're no longer separate or alienated from God because of our choices or because of the hardship or brokenness of this world. Our baptism is showing us that the love of God is enveloping us. I think this is why a lot of people choose immersion baptism. That you go all the way in the water. Because it's a beautiful symbol of the fact that God's love is embracing you fully. So that desire that all humans have to be known, to be understood, and to be loved despite our brokenness, despite our weaknesses, despite our failings, our baptism speaks to that embrace from God. Hear how Paul talks about it. That we're baptized into Christ Jesus. So all of you is being united to all of Jesus. God is giving all of himself to you, and you are giving all of yourself to God. And it's a beautiful union of love, of mutuality, where we as lowly humans get to be united to the creator of the universe. It's probably our life's greatest honor. The second thing Paul says is that we're united to Jesus in his death. Hear what he says in verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into his death. Verses 6 and 7. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. So here we see that not only are we united to Jesus in relationship, but we're also united to Jesus in his accomplishments. So the work that Jesus did on the cross to pay the price for sin, to destroy the power of evil, to pay the consequence of our choices. Everything that Jesus accomplishes on the cross, in his death, we die with him. Now, do we feel the pain to the same degree that he does? It's not a rhetorical question. No. So we are participating with him while he is taking the brunt of the responsibility. He is taking the weight of the sacrifice. So what happens in our baptism is that our old life, our old self, full of sin, full of shame, full of guilt, full of wounds, full of brokenness and pain, all of that is going with Jesus to the cross and then is forever buried. This separates us from all of the things we most desperately want to be freed from. Is this good news? This is the fundamental of what it means, is that you and all of your brokenness is dying, but with someone who's going to care for you in that process. Essentially, Jesus is going to hold you as you enter into this death that sin has earned, but God will not leave you there, is the promise. One of my dear friends right now is going through cancer treatment. And the treatment for that process is essentially to kill the cancer, right? And so his body is going through this process of all of these things inside of him dying, but the hope is kill it all, kill the cancer, and then bring him back to life, essentially, back to health. This is what the gospel does. It says, let's kill everything that's killing you in and with Jesus. And then here's the promise. Paul says, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Does God leave Jesus in the grave after his crucifixion? No, God vindicates Jesus. God brings Christ back from the dead, defeating death, defeating sin, defeating the darkness of the world. This is what God's promise is to his people, is that if you let yourself see that you, there are parts of you that need to die, the sinful parts of you, the parts of you that are capable of harming other people, the parts of you that have been, that you feel have been so broken they can't be repaired, if you let all of those parts of you die with Jesus in his death, then God will raise you to new life the way you were always meant to be, according to the resurrection of Jesus. So the good that you were made for, the beauty that you want to pursue, God is saying, I will bring you back to the dead and will mend you and make you as new and even better. That's the promise of the resurrection. So in baptism, when we put people into the water, do we leave them there? That would be a really lame baptism, wouldn't it? Be a sad thing. The whole point is to say, yes, things die, but more lives. The newness of life is being offered. That God is recreating, empowering, enlivening you to be fully you in relationship with God, your Creator. And that you would become an instrument of good in the world, an instrument through which he works in the world in order to better the world. Isn't that what we want? Do we want to be agents of goodness in this world, or do we want to contribute to the evil of this world? We want to contribute to goodness, don't we? We want to make the world better. And God is saying, join me in that mission, become my instruments through which I work in the world, that I bless the world with you. Do you want to be a blessing to the world? This is what the gospel produces, people that are committed to goodness. So this is the last thing that Paul talks about, is that we're made for lives of righteousness, of holiness, verses 12 and 13. He says, because of your baptism then, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members, your body, to God as instruments for righteousness. Paul's saying, since the old you is dead, and the new you has been brought to life, now you're at kind of a battle through the rest of your life to go, who are you going to be, and how are you going to live? Don't you feel that sometimes where you're like, there's this me that I'm really kind of sick of. I'm sick of the messes he makes. I'm sick of the stuff that shows up, or he's mean, or he's harsh, or he's not a benefit to the world, or does things that I know aren't right. Do you ever feel that about yourself? An awareness of like, why do I do the stuff I don't want to do? Anybody? It's just me and Peter. Right? We all have an awareness of the fact that, why do I do that? Right? But there's this other part of you that goes, and I always laugh about this with young adults. It's like that midnight clarity where you've stayed up all night, maybe you watched too many shows or played video games for too long or whatever, and all of a sudden at the night you kind of get this rush of clarity where you're like, I know what I'm going to do tomorrow. You know, I'm going to shape up, and I'm going to have a plan for eating well, and I'm going to work out, and this is what I'm going to, and you get this clarity of mind where you're like, this is the life I was meant to live. And it's almost like a surge of adrenaline where you're like, tomorrow will be different. You know that feeling? But because you stayed up so late, you sleep in tomorrow. And you start the cycle all over again. It's a little discouraging. But here in the gospel, what Paul is saying is that the promise in Jesus is that God is joining you in that vision to go, this is what you were made for. This is the good you were meant to do in the world. And that he's giving you power to choose to believe. Are you going to believe you are that person who does evil and participates in the brokenness of this world? Or are you going to be the person that God has brought back from the dead in Jesus? Are you going to be that person who's been endowed, infused with the character of Jesus and the heart of Jesus and the mind of Jesus and the ability to do good like Jesus? Is that who you are going to be? And it's not based on whether or not you can make yourself good. It's based on what God has done through Jesus. Isn't that good news? That this is what you were made for. And Paul is saying, remember your baptism. Remember it, and don't listen to that old self. Don't let that old self come back and rule inside of you. Instead, let the truth of the gospel of Jesus and his death and his resurrection, let that rule and reign in your body. Let that rule and reign in your thinking. And don't let evil enslave you again. And so your baptism is meant to be this point in your life that you look back on and you remember, no matter what's going on in my life, I'm united to Jesus. The old me has died with Jesus and has no more power. Evil doesn't have power in me. And I'm alive in Jesus, that I'm capable of doing the good that I feel I was meant to do. I'm capable of benefiting this world. And I remember my commitment, my oaths, my vows, that I gave my whole self to this promise, and I refuse to break my I refuse to break my commitment. I refuse to let the devil reign in my life because I am Jesus's. You awake? You alive? Is this true? And this is what our baptism is meant to be. That every morning that you shower, the water should make you remember these four truths. When you go swim in the ocean, play in the lakes, the water should remind you of your baptism. When it rains, you should be reminded of your baptism. That God is giving something physical to help you see the spiritual reality. And you experience it. You feel it. One of the things I tell people when they're getting baptized is, why don't we give it a couple seconds in the water so you can really soak it up. Be united to Jesus, see the old you die, and then feel that rush of coming back. Because your baptism is meant to imprint to your heart and to your mind and to your body these fundamental truths. That Jesus has you. That death and sin has been defeated in you. that you are alive in him and you are made for a life of goodness and holiness. So hold to your vows. And for those young kids that get baptized in our church, this is their legacy that we're telling them over and over and over again about their baptism. We committed you from a young age all to Jesus. Remember that commitment. Make that commitment your own. So this is what we're doing today. You in?